We are living in the era of fake news and personal outrage. Right? It's not a joke, Sylvia. It's true. It's hard to know what's true anymore. And things that people choose to believe about others often leads them to feel offended and upset at what other people might think or say. 50 years ago, Paul Simon wrote, "A man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest." And that's certainly still true today. People choose their own truth. They tell others what they believe isn't true. And then before long, there is no more truth. It's all just lies and hate and anger. That's politics in 2019. And sadly, in 2019, everything has become political. And so that is the culture that we live in today. Fake news and outrage. Sadly, this is even the case in the church and among things of faith. I mentioned on Easter morning that the largest religious group in the United States today are the nuns. That is, people who, when they are asked about their religious affiliation, mark none of the above. The largest single religious group in America today. Of course, there have always been people without faith. There have always been people who reject the message of the church, the atheists and the agnostics. But today it's become fashionable. It's become culturally accepted. In fact, it's become what our culture celebrates to say that we reject faith and that we reject the things of God. For lots of people today, the good news of Jesus is now fake news. For some, it's even a trigger to feel offended and to feel outraged. And this cultural moment certainly presents great challenges for the church. It might even feel to you like it's a threat, like it's a threat to your own faith, like expressing what you believe and who you are now is somehow wrong, or that you're going to be judged for what you believe and how you want to live out your faith. And so in response, we turn today to God's Word, just like we always do, because we need a reminder of what the good news is and why it's good. So for the next several weeks, we're going to be reading through Romans, Paul's letter to the church at Rome. And I hope that we find in this letter, I know we will find good news, and I hope we find some comfort and encouragement in these words as well. So today we're going to start in chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 8. "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit, in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witnesses how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I plan many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, 'The righteous will live by faith.'" Paul wrote to the Roman church before he had ever visited there. Paul longed to go to Rome. It was one of those things sort of on what we would say today, his bucket list. want to make it to Rome. And he wanted to go there because he wanted to preach the gospel there. Rome, of course, at that time was the political and cultural capital of the Western world. We know what the Roman Empire is. Well, the Roman Empire began in Rome. And the people of Rome were sophisticated and they were educated and they were respected. And Paul wanted to go there to bring the gospel into the very heart of the Roman Empire. It'd be like today someone saying, I want to go to New York City, or I want to go to Washington, D.C., or maybe I want to go to Beijing. I want to go into the very heart of that culture and proclaim the good news to the elites of that culture, to the powerful people, to the respected people, to the people of influence. I want to go there, right into the very heart of that culture, and bring the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul eventually did make it to Rome. Unfortunately, when he made it to Rome, he went there as a prisoner. You might remember Paul was arrested in Jerusalem for preaching the gospel. And because he was a Roman citizen, he appealed his case. And that meant that he had the right to go and stand trial in Rome before Caesar himself, at least theoretically before Caesar. We don't know if he actually saw Caesar face to face, but he did appeal his case and was taken as a prisoner to Rome and kept there under house arrest and eventually was put to death for his faith there in Rome. And so in that sense, his hopes were realized. He did proclaim the good news in Rome. Paul wanted to share the good news. The good news that God loves us and that he sent us the Savior. And the Savior is Jesus Christ. And that is still the message of the church. That is still the good news that we proclaim all these years later. Paul's words remind us to keep the message of Jesus at the center of all we do, especially in the culture in which we live today, which maybe is not that much different than the Roman culture of Paul's day, a culture that largely rejects our news. And so here's what we need to hold on to today, that the story of Jesus is good news, and we need to keep it that way. We need to continue to proclaim the message of Jesus as good news. And so I wonder, as you think about your neighbors, your friends, the people that you know best in your life who are maybe not in church this morning, do they think that the church tells good news? To the folks outside of the Christian faith today, do they think that Jesus brings good news into the world? We need to acknowledge first that what people know about Jesus, they learn from us. You may not think about that, but that is in fact the reality. How the church presents Jesus, how we tell the story, how we act and how we speak and how we love or how we fail to love. That is what the world knows about Jesus. That is how they hear the good news. And for some people, our message sounds like judgment. It sounds like criticism. When we say that Jesus is the way to salvation, when we say you need to repent of your sins, they hear that as us looking down our noses at them and casting shame, hypocritically pointing out their sin, their failure, their imperfection. And if that's how they hear the message of the church, if that's how they hear the message of Jesus, then Jesus doesn't sound like good news to them. For others, the church comes off as exclusionary. It's us against them. It's the good people of the church versus the bad people out in the world. And they hear our message as divisive. And again, if that's how they hear it, then it's not really good news. At least the way they hear it. We may not mean to present Jesus in these ways. We may want to love everyone. We may want to throw the church doors wide open and say everyone is welcome. And we do say that and we do believe that. And yet if that's not the message that gets sent out into the world, then it doesn't matter what we may want to say or what we think we're saying. It matters how people hear our message. Somehow the message of Jesus doesn't always sound good, and that's not Jesus' fault. It's also not the fault of the world. In fact, it's our fault. It's the church's fault. Because if we're not presenting his message as good news, then the news doesn't sound very good to the people who are hearing it. The truth is that we are imperfect messengers of a perfectly good message. And so again today, we need to be reminded that the story of Jesus is good news. And we need to keep it that way. So Paul writes as he begins this letter to the Roman church, mostly Gentile believers, non-Jewish believers there in Rome, who had heard the gospel through evangelists that visited there to Rome, maybe people who heard about the good news of Jesus somewhere else and then went to live in Rome, and that little church was beginning to grow and spread, and Paul writes to them, and he tells them in this passage that we've just read that the good news of Jesus is good inside the church, but it's also good outside the church. And so that's what we want to think about today. He began by explaining how much he wanted to visit Rome, and he longed to go there and meet with those believers face to face. And he says, I want to pass on to you a spiritual gift. And what he means by that is this gift of encouragement. I want to be there so that I can encourage you, and so you can encourage me, and so that we can join together in bringing in a harvest of faith to help the church grow and to encourage those who have already found new life in Jesus. This is still needed, badly needed, I think, in the church today. And that is that we encourage each other with the good news. We encourage each other. The church needs a lot of encouragement today. Church in America, at least. Other parts of the world, the church is flourishing and growing, but in the U.S., the church is declining, and we need to face that reality. Attendance is declining. Church membership is declining. In fact, I read the other day, the first time in the history, at least, of these things being kept, not only are the nuns, as I mentioned earlier, the largest religious group in America, but today, for the first time, a majority of Americans say that they are not a member of a religious organization. We have membership in our church. Many of you are members of this church. Most people in America today are not members of whether it's a Christian church or a Jewish synagogue or a Muslim mosque, whatever it is. Most Americans are not a member of anything today in terms of their religious affiliation. The church in America is declining also in terms of financial resources. We're not able to do the ministry that we would like to do, largely, or in many cases, because we don't have the people to do it and because we don't have the resources to do what we would like to do or what we were able to do a generation or two ago. We're also feeling pressures from outside the church. Again, today people openly criticize and ridicule the teaching of the church. They call people of faith stupid and bigoted and backward and hateful. One of the reasons that Paul wanted to go to Rome was to encourage that little gathering of believers. He wanted to be there among those folks 2,000 years ago, but living in the shadow of the world's great superpower, living in a culture that oppressed the church, living in a culture where the people of faith, those who follow Jesus, were being persecuted, openly and violently persecuted, just like Paul, who eventually lost his life for his faith. Paul wanted to go there and bring them this spiritual gift. He says that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. And that's what we need today in the church. We need to encourage each other. And so let me share some encouragements with you today. Be encouraged, knowing that you are not alone in your faith. Despite what we might see around us in the world, you believe the same good news that Paul believed. You believe the same good news that every generation of believers for 2,000 years have believed, and that millions of Christians, even today, millions of Christians still hold the same faith that you hold today. Be encouraged that faith in Jesus is not backward and it is not foolish. We believe because we have witnessed the power of God in our lives and in the lives of other believers. We have experienced God's presence when we pray and when we worship. We can feel His Spirit moving among us even in this place today. We can feel in our souls that He loves us and that He walks with us. We know that our faith is real because we experience God's presence in our lives. Be encouraged also that you read the same Bible that Christians all over the world read and believe. You read the same Bible that Paul helped to write. You read the same scripture that St. Augustine read and believed in the 4th century, that Martin Luther read and believed during the Reformation. The same Bible that Martin Luther King Jr. read and preached from not too many years ago. The same Bible that our covenant forebears believed. The same Bible that Billy Graham preached. We preach the same Bible that is preached all over the world today in churches like ours. So be encouraged that you're not alone. Be encouraged that God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to die for you and to rise again so that you can have everlasting life. Be encouraged that the good news is still good and we're going to keep it that way. It's good news. It's good news inside the church, and so we encourage each other with that good news. But it's also good news outside the church. And so we are not ashamed to share the good news with people in need. We're not ashamed of the gospel. Again, there are many people around us today who hear the message of the church as fake news, as judgmental, as foolish, whatever it might be. And yes, there will always be some who reject Christ. And that's sad. We don't give up on people. We also know that we can't argue anyone into faith. But what we can do is keep telling the story. And we can tell it as good news. We can tell the story of God's love that sent His own Son into the world. We can tell the story of how Jesus came and performed miracles and taught and loved people. We can tell the story of how Jesus laid down His own life, choosing to die to save us. And how in God's power He was raised again to new life. We can tell the story also of how my life has been changed and your life has been changed because we know Jesus. How God is still actively working in the lives of His people today, changing us and making us better and enabling us to join with Him in the work that reaches out in all across this world to love people and share the good news with them. We are not ashamed of the story of Jesus. And we tell it as good news not to condemn people, not to cast judgment on those outside the church, but to offer the free gift of new and eternal life. The gift that we have received because someone chose to share it with us, and now we get to share it with others. And so Paul writes that the good news of Jesus, of which he was not ashamed, despite the fact that he was often beaten and imprisoned and eventually lost his life because of that good news. He says the good news of Jesus is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. To everyone who believes. No one is left out. No one is excluded. No one has to be good enough. No one has to speak the right language. No one has to have the right color of skin. No one has to be smart enough. No one has to be rich enough. Jesus opens up the door of salvation to everyone, and the only thing that is needed to walk through that door of salvation is to place your faith in Jesus and to believe that He died on the cross for you. And it's good news, and we need to believe that it's good news for us. And so the mission of the church is to tell the story of Jesus as good news. And to make sure that the way we present it, other people hear it as good. Because His story is still good. And it is still powerful. And we rejoice as we witness God changing hearts. And He still does change hearts. And we rejoice as we see people being drawn to Jesus and their lives changed. And we rejoice when they find salvation. So be encouraged today. And join with the church in sharing the good news. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you for your love that sent Jesus into the world. We thank you for the good news that has been preserved and passed on all these generations and has now come to us. And someone told each of us that news. And we heard it as good. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us also to tell that story and make it good for others as well. Lord, we pray for the people that we know, the people we love, who have not yet heard the good news, or maybe they've heard it, but it hasn't sunk into their hearts yet. And we pray that their hearts would be open to you so that they can come and join us rejoicing that we have found new life, that we have found your power that saves us, that the righteous shall live by faith. And we give you praise and thanks for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.